All the Gestapo, they wore these long leather coat, and they had a swastika on their left arm, and hat and Polish boot. So the population knew, out of everybody they knew, who was Gestapo. That's how they dressed, you know. My name is Tommy Reichenthal. I'm living in Ireland for the past 60 years. I'm Jewish. I'm a Holocaust survivor. They come to my brother and they ask him, you are a Jew? We had false paper at the time. And it was, the name was Vida. It was a typical Slovak name, like Murphy or Connor would be Irish name. Vida was a very Slovak name. So he said, my name is Miklos Vida. I'm not Jewish. We thought the name would save us, you know. He says, asked a couple of times, and the next thing they were beating him up because he didn't admit that he was Jewish. But my brother was at the time nearly 13 years old, and I was 9 years old at the time. And I sat beside, and my brother still wouldn't admit, so they turned around to me. I said, but you Jewish? I said, no, my name is Thomas Vida, you know. I said, I'm not Jewish. And the next thing, they were beating me. And my brother was always very protective of me. Of course, I was crying, I was hurting. And my brother just jumped out and said, please don't beat my brother. We are Jewish. And we were taken then to this shop. And there we saw the 13 of our family were arrested on that day. It was on the 2nd of November 1944 that we were called to this roll called 7 went to the right and 6 of us, we went to the left. I remember when we said goodbye to each other. I mean, it all happened very quickly. It was very cruel. We just waved and said, when all is over, we will be reunited, everything will be all right. When we said goodbye to them, when we waved to them, that was the last time we saw them. Our life practically changed from 1 minute to another minute, you know. Here we were standing as civilized people. Next minute we were like animals, you know. So the camp was divided in several parts, and there was the men camp and there was a woman camp. When we arrived, we saw this skeleton walking around, shaved head in a striped uniform, and they walked aimlessly. Many times they just fell down. And we as children, we used to play outside, and we would watch, we learned that when they fell down, some of them got up, but most of them never got up. And we learned that as children, he said, if they get up, they have chance to live another couple of days, you know. But most of them never got up. They died where they fell. Where we had a sort of a playground, we had sort of a green area where we used to chase each other and play a game like cops and Indians, but we used to play the Jews and the Germans, you know. And of course, the Jews always won the war, you know. But that's how we got on. But suddenly, we saw a little pile of corpses in our playground, you know. And we continued to play among these corpses. We used to play hide and seek. And we used to hide behind pile of corpses. And these corpses were decomposing and rotting away. So you can imagine the sight, the stench around us. But we got used to that, you know. I don't know. How we ran around and we smiled and we were just children. But the adults, I mean, can you imagine watching this? My mother and aunt, we are playing among dead bodies, you know. So it wasn't simple. It was very, very, very terrible when you sort of think about it now.
You're just about to tell me you had one tragedy before you were living.
Yeah. So that was on the 7th of March, 1945. I remember that morning I woke up and I saw my mother and my aunt, they were crying, and I asked, what happened? Why are you crying? And they told me my grandmother passed away. And that morning, this what we call the Sonderkommando, these were the people that used to handle the corpses. So they come to the room and they stripped my grandmother. She was like a little baby, just skin and bone, really. The skin was just hanging from her. And we were sitting there, and one picked her by the leg, one by the hand. She was thrown into the cart. They had this cart with two wheels. And then she was wheeled outside and thrown on the car, pile of corpses outside. But anyway, the day arrived. It was 15th of April, 1945, afternoon, when we heard this rumbling coming. There were jeeps and lorries and tanks coming through. And through loud hurler, soldiers were shouting, "This is the British Army. You are being liberated." We didn't even know what liberated meant. But we knew we were free. I started to speak for the first time about the Holocaust. It was in 2004.
You mentioned that you never told your wife.
No, nobody knew. And the people, when they suddenly began to read and was interviewed by newspaper, television, radio, and suddenly they heard all these things, said, "My God, you're here with us for years and years, and we never knew what I never spoke to anybody about it." It was a sort of a relief in the end, you know, because it was back of my head all the time. But it was there, you know. I didn't want to speak about it. When there was any documentary on the television, I just switch it over, you know. I just wanted to forget it, you know. But then it developed in me. I said, I'm one of the last witnesses to this. Anybody younger than me couldn't remember. Anybody older than me is passing away. So I have to speak. It's important. And that's what happened to us. So it stays with me, and it will stay with me till I will be gone, you know. So it's a memory that I will never forget.
That was Tommy Reichenthal, originally from Slovakia, but currently living in Rathgar in Dublin. This episode was produced by me, Connor Sweetman, and music is on Blue Dot Sessions. If you want to hear more audio portraits, visit everydaypeople.ie. And be sure to sign up to our mailing list, where you'll get one email per month notifying you of our next episode. So sign up, and I'll chat to you next month.